The makers of the following podcast and other persons associated with the podcast do not endorse and or bear any liability for any content, statements, views, ideas or opinions expressed in this podcast by the individual participants, nor for any issue arising in connection therewith. The podcast may contain strong language and ideas or concepts that may or may not be suitable for young children. Listener's discretion is advised.
Break those norms.
Catch the music.
Drag queen, drag queen, drag queen, and then drag king, drag king, drag king.
For the one, the only.
हाँ मुझे drag करना है तो
थोड़ा traditional होना चाहिए.
हम सब performers हैं.
Waiting to blossom.
I use a word like drag artist.
That will create change.
Come and join me.
This beautiful thing which is called drag.
Yeah, that's drag for you.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of In Drag. And today we have reached a point in our journey where we shall be educated, we shall be enlightened, we shall be guided along in terms of the beautiful journey if somebody wants to take it on of drag. And yes, our coach, our guide, our mentor today on the episode is one such person who's been doing it for quite some time now. I mean, drag for sure. And I'm talking about Zeeshan Ali, aka Zeesh. So, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Zeesh.
Hello, hello, hello. How is it going?
Well, after that, it's starting to go fairly okay and well.
There
welcome
you go.
To the show. Welcome to the show, Zeesh.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So, what was your journey like? What kind of got you into this entire scenario?
A funny story. So I was studying medicine. I was a physiotherapist in making.
Oh.
And, you know, studying was not the part that was the issue. But I feel I was not really enjoying being myself at that space. And it was really difficult. And during that time, I had a friend who was a counselor. And he took me under his wing and asked me little questions. And then I realized that was not my space to be in. Mm. And I think that was the time where I took the decision of moving into fashion and starting up with my fashion college. And that was a space that really let me bloom and explore things. And I was learning about things. I was making costumes. And
what timeline was this? I mean, if you could give us an idea.
This was 2012.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It's been a while. There was no drag performers or performances happening as mainstreamly as they do right now. At that point of time, drag was non-existent.
Right.
And that was the time when I was doing research for a college project and I came to know about drag and Club Kid.
Educate us.
This was a phenomena in the early 80s and 90s where folks would dress up as themselves and celebrate their authentic selves in whatever way, form. And these were not privileged people. These were homeless folks in New York. These were queer people who didn't have the right means to, you know, do things. But they had creativity. They had personality. And they had a passion to showcase themselves. And that what built this whole culture of club kids.
All right.
RuPaul was a club kid once upon a time. There is Jane Same Janes, Amanda Lepore, one of the most iconic names that come out of from that space. So that kind of really liberated myself in so many ways, because I come from a very orthodox Muslim family, had a very simple upbringing, never thought I could be an artist. So when I got to do that and I started making my own costumes, I was like, hey, why not wear them and do a show at the school instead of models wearing it? Why not I do it? And I did that.
All right.
Because you have perceived yourself in a certain way and now you can perceive yourself in so many other ways. And I say this always, you can be whoever you want to be. You know?
Sure.
And so that really pushed me forward into starting to make small characters and putting it up on my Instagram and putting stories and stuff, because I was doing it in a more artistic way. And it was never a career option. It was just, I had all my skills and talents, which were my makeup, costume designing, photography at that point of time, and all these things amalgamating into one hot pot called as drag.
Okay.
In India, drag was not seen as drag per se. It was cross-dressing, which is...
I want you to please distinguish between the two.
So, trans person is a person living their authentic self.
Okay.
That's who they are. That's what their core self is. And that's marvelous.
Right.
Cross-dressing is more specifically towards dressing up as the other gender. Cross-dressing, right? Dressing up as the other gender.
Sure.
And drag, per se, is far more elaborate, far more expansive.
And expensive.
Very expensive, that part. And also, the spectrum is far more elaborate than just binary beings, right? It's non-binary.
So, ab mujhe ye samajhna hai ki then why has it taken so long for people to actually express themselves?
Like, drag has existed in India always, but it was always in four walls. It was not on the street or on the stage per se. Though there were a lot of queer people on the stage doing several art forms which involves a version of drag, but not queer people taking power in their characters and walking the streets in drag, which happens in Pride now, which used to happen in Pride only because that was the only time you could be yourself. It used to happen only on Halloween because that could be added into the gimmick of costuming, and you can play that around. But now drag is not limited to these specific nights or these specific moments. Drag is about everyday thing. For me, you know, we speak about drag as a performative art, and I feel we are performative beings through and through as human beings.
Sure.
For me, drag is, you know, if I'm with my parents, I'm in my parental drag. I don't know the term, but there's a different version of me that I'm in front of my parents. There's a different version that I am with my friends. There is a different version when I'm with my colleagues, and there's a different version when I'm on stage. So all these versions are different versions of my drag identity or drag character in a way, in so many ways. It's not just stage limited is what I feel. And you know, RuPaul says it the best: you're born naked and the rest is drag, and we put on the character.
So if somebody actually wants to start performing drag and has this innate desire, how would you talk to that person? The stage is yours.
I think you'd need to first figure out what are your skills and talents.
Right.
Like for me, costume designing was one of my main talents.
Right.
I'm maybe not the best classical dancer or a hip hop dancer or a lip syncer in some ways. So you have to find your niche talent in a way, and then kind of grow your personality and character on that. And then obviously you need resources, right? You need to figure out what's the version of drag that you see yourself as. Do you see yourself as hyper masculine or hyper feminine or alienistic? And then kind of create your character based on the look that you see. And also then there is this stage presence. How are you presenting yourself on stage? There are a lot of pageants, which is a great space to start up as a drag artist. A lot of pageants are happening in small cities, big cities, and all of that. So I feel that's a great space to... and social media is the best space. I think for me...
That's where you started.
That's how I started. And I learned from social media as well. YouTube was my academy, basically, at that point of time. That's the best space to learn a lot more. How to make your pads, how to, you know, create your body, how to create your definitions on the face, what products you need to use. And also, see, drag is expensive. Like, human hair wigs come up to 20,000 right
now.
And that's not the budget, honey, at that point of time. I feel you need to find resources that you can get.
Okay.
Vintage clothing. I used a lot of my mom's clothing to create a lot of my drag characters in the beginning. Jewelry from streets and, you know, all the thrifting.
Yeah.
A drag on a dime is a saying, and it is truly a thing. You can actually do drag on a dime.
Okay.
And I feel there are more opportunities now. So if someone wants to do drag, absolutely, you need to get your character together. You need to get your costumes together. You need to get your hair together. But it is all about you.
Right.
It's not how they are doing. It's about how you can do.
So I'd like you to tell that person in terms of the financial aspects of it. Will that be economically viable?
Drag as a business. That's my new favorite topic to talk about.
Yeah.
I feel at the moment, it is little difficult. Even for artists like me and so many others, we have side hustles, right?
Right.
So there are clubs, there are spaces that will hire you to do a performance, and then you quote your price, what your price is, what are the performances that you're going to give, one or two acts. That's one realm of money making, right?
Sure.
Performance. Then there is a whole segment of modeling, and there is a whole segment of influencer marketing. And so there are a lot more facets that you can explore
now.
now per se. There are artists that are doing workshops, drag workshop, drag makeup workshop, drag dancing workshop, drag lip syncing workshop.
To initiate people who are just now coming into
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Right. We didn't have all of that earlier happening in India when I started doing drag. I was learning through YouTube.
Right.
So now there is in-person experiences available where you can go in and learn and, you know, start up your journey.
All right.
We have mentorships happening in terms of, a drag mother and a drag child way. Like, for instance, there are so many artists that have, drag artists that have children. Drag children's and the mother kind of helps them understand drag and help them in their drag journey, get them together, costume, makeup, all of that. So all of this is also available, and I think a lot can be explored in that space.
Mm.
In the last couple of years, a lot of corporates are coming in and inviting drag artists to come speak, showcase their art forms. I have done a lot of private events at weddings and bridal showers and stuff like that, which is interesting. I think the space is changing in that sense. And also drag artists are not just limiting themselves to clubs and night life. They're also exploring possibilities in, you know, daytime activities like book reading for children.
Okay.
And that's something that Keshav Suri Foundation does, where they have drag story hours, where they have kids and a drag queen reciting them stories.
Wow.
Kids have the most innocent and direct questions.
Bang on. You're
and I
absolutely
love that.
Right.
And
yeah,
I
exactly.
love that. And I think...
And they're not judgmental questions.
You know,
they're curious.
Not, they're curious. That's
exactly.
all there is to it.
Right.
And that's just amazing. And I think drag is not limited to nightlife. Drag is not limited to alcohol and performances and all of that. It's more and much more than that. Drag is about your experience of everyday life, not just a specific time.
Mm.
Drag is being explored in different forms and different platforms.
Yeah.
To TV shows, to movies.
Right.
To there are singers, there are comedians who are writing scripts. People are doing collaborations with brands and creating products and stuff like that.
Right.
Drag is becoming a lot more elaborate than what it was experienced in India earlier.
Sure. Bahut bari ye conversation mein na baat uthti hai, ye term uthti hai bahut bari. Inclusivity.
Hanji. The most famous word of them all.
Bahut hi zyada matlab hai na. So what's your take?
I come from a space of inclusivity where bringing everyone together. Right. And for me as a queer person, I have created safe corners for myself. I have created safe spaces for myself and people like me. And I feel those safe spaces are as much required by queer people. They are required by cishet people as well. Because trust me, honey, they are burdened by their own toxic masculinity and the societal norms.
Hmm.
Cis, heterosexual, male, female, and everyone is welcome. It's an open space. And what happens, and this is the most beautiful part, right? When these folks come into an event and they see us being clowns and stupid and not taking things seriously, having fun, being ridiculous on stage sometimes even.
Right.
It's like, oh my God, what the fuck? Why are we taking life so seriously? Let's loosen up a little.
Nice.
And that creates such an open space. A fresh person coming to a drag show for me who has never experienced drag, I say that taking drag virginity of them, it's creating safe space, not just for myself or people like me, but everyone. That is inclusivity.
Beautifully put, Zish.
Thank
you. So if I understand that thing, you're saying, I'm going to accept it. Yeah, na karo karo, I don't care. Main tumhe accept karta.
Exactly.
That is beautiful.
You know, because I feel, honey, who points fingers? Someone who has been pointed fingers already.
Sure.
You know, so the person is already in pain. Instead of adding more pain, let them give them a little pleasure and bring them in. Because, you know, the safe space that we had to create through our traumas and through all the problems that we've gone through is become so pure, so authentic, so loving that I feel that should not just be for queer people. Other folks should come and experience that and enjoy the joy and
nice.
Bring the love together. Because
nice.
That's where the change really lies.
Right. Beautiful. Yeah. So what was it like for you? I mean, to kind of see the reactions that you have seen over a period of time. Could you share that with us?
So I was very lucky. I started my drag journey very early on. I was more of a social media artist in a way who would put on characters and this and that. I was never a stage person. But when I was asked by Mr. Suri, Keshav Suri, who is one of the main person who brought drag to the mainstream in India at Kitty Sue and Kitty Co and Lalit.
Right.
So when the space was provided to me, I did my first performance and I knew as a person, I really wanted to bring thought process, shock value, conversations that are shunned and not had. And I wanted to bring that in my acts. I didn't want to do a Bollywood number, dance, kiki, kaka, and go. And that is amazing. And some people do it brilliantly. My non-binary identity cannot be that feminine latka jhatka.
Right.
It's not my personality. I don't want to do that.
Right.
Neither am I hyper-masculine personality, which I don't want to do. So my characters were very non-binary, alienistic almost for some reason. And that was a lot of shock to a lot of people. Some people liked it, some people didn't. And I didn't give a fuck about it. About it because I was having fun about, you know, at the end of the day, drag is also having fun. That's the core essence idea of it. As I was saying, building a character, I was trying to build my character, understand what are the perspectives that I enjoy, what are the versions that I want to showcase, what are the conversations that I want to speak about through this platform of a stage that I have received.
All right.
So I have done like crazy acts where I've pulled out sex toys and had talks about mental health. I've done even a performance where I'm doing spoken words. And so I like to play around with my acts. They are kind of sexualized sometimes because I feel that's a lot of conversation that we need to have. And drag is a great medium to speak, question, and, you know, dissect things, right?
It's
that's the way I see it. It's a medium where you can utilize through whatever way, whatever, however you want to utilize it as. Like for me, growing up, not having the right sexual education really had a huge impact on me. So I feel this is a conversation that I want to lead forward with. And that's why it's part of my drag journey. And that's the reason why I bring out a lot in my drag acts.
Fair
and
enough.
I do it in my alienistic characters. So it also adds this, you know, humor to it. It's camp.
Sure, in
a way. It is camp.
So have you had people come up to you, probably post your act and things like that, where they've actually come up to you and said, congratulated you, one, on the act, and secondly, that they may be taking something away from the act?
So many times.
Right.
Like for an instance, this was one of the first few times when I met a person after a show who comes to me, very early 20s, okay? And they're like, very chirpily comes to me, oh my God, you were so amazing, la la la. I'm like, yay, thank you so much. That sounds so sweet. And he's like, thank you for being you.
Nice.
Thank you for being you. And that might not be a lot at that point of time, but just thank you for being you was so intense. And then they said, okay, you don't know how much you being yourself helped me be myself.
That's beautiful.
And that changed everything from me from there on. Because if I'm my authentic self, in some way or form, that's helping someone else be their authentic self.
Beautiful. You have performed maybe in relatively smaller cities.
Yeah.
You have performed in metros.
Yeah.
So, aap kaise compare kaise karenge?
See, I feel each experience is so different. Each city has a different vibe with them. Like Delhi has a different vibe. Mumbai has a different vibe. Bangalore has a different vibe. But when you go to Chandigarh, it has a different vibe altogether. At the end of the day, I think you have to gauge the city by, you know, the experience that you get and create acts that work around it.
Okay.
There are spaces which are completely drag friendly where people understand the art form and they are okay with everything and they celebrate everything. But there are spaces where people might not celebrate it. So I will deliver my art, which is palatable in the way for the person to understand. And it might not be the same art version of art that I would do in Mumbai.
Right.
So adjusting according to your audience and delivering what they can understand and what they can digest. Maybe it would be in slow, slow, slow dosage. But that will create change. That will bring in the impact. And I feel that's what we are trying to do at Kitty Sue and Kitty Co as well, where we are sending drag artists to different spaces like Jaipur, Kolkata and Chandigarh and spaces which have not had that kind of experience as the metro cities have had. And that is slowly and steadily changing things.
Nice.
And that's where the change lies actually, you know.
That's very encouraging.
Yeah.
And I would also like to mention here, Zeesh, that I'm so glad that you've been on the show. and you've really opened minds of various people in terms of their sensitization towards drag.
Amen. When I was growing up, I didn't see myself being represented anywhere in media. I never had that opportunity. But now I can give that opportunity to someone else. And that's how I think a lot of queer people are working from that space and being that version that they never had growing up.
And drag is a great vehicle.
And drag is a great medium, as I say. It's a car that the way you want to drive it.
Right.
So I feel drag is really contributing in that space. And also, drag artists and drag queens and drag kings were the spearheaders in every queer movement, if you see.
Hmm.
The one that started the whole Pride March in Stonewall was started by homeless people, drag artists, trans people.
Right.
So these are the spearheaders and leaders in the queer communities in so many ways. And I'm thrilled to be a part of that in the smallest way possible and lead a little part of change that I can bring in my space and form.
But I think what's been most rewarding has been, Zeesh, the fact that this guide that you opened up today, it is not just about expressing yourself. I think what you've done beautifully well is also talk about the financial, the economic aspects of things,
yeah,
which might encourage a lot of people to say, all right, wait a minute, this might be the way I want to go.
I am so glad that y'all are bringing the change in this space, calling us drag artists to have this conversation that itself is creating a change. And I am super grateful to for this whole enterprise that is bringing this whole experience for so many people out there. Thank you. And congratulations.
Yes.
You're bringing
yes.
change, and that is important.
Zeesh, it's been a true pleasure, honestly.
Same.
And I wish you all the best moving forward. It's always going to be onwards and upwards for you.
Amen to that. And right back at you.
This was a Turtle on a Hammock Films original podcast, hosted by Sudhi Sajdev. Executive produced by Avinash Kumar Singh. Produced by Geeta Singh. Directed, mixed and engineered by Jigisha Patil. Art and publicity design by Pooja Ray. Sound recording copyright 2023 by Turtle on a Hammock Films LLP. All rights reserved.